You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Good afternoon, friends. This is Mindy Molina. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I am here with my right-hand man, Frank Borelli, and we have a special show for you today. That's a little bit off the path of what we normally do, and the Lord's just kind of put it on our heart and created the opportunity. So you know what? We are taking advantage of that and just going to be talking today about rightly dividing the word. Who is God? How do you know? And what is his plan? And what's the end of the story? We're going to be focusing, I think, a little more on the end of the story, too.
We want to try.
And then just also where we are in this story, where we are now, and how that fits in to the whole book. Okay? So it's going to be encouraging. Might be a little scary. I go to Frank. Frank is my go-to for questions. So he comes into the office. I've been drinking coffee, and sometimes I get a little wired and ask questions, and he has the answers. So I think that he's going to be really providing a lot of information for us today, and I'm going to be asking him lots of questions. So you are in for a treat, and there's no time. Given the world today, just turn on the news. Why not learn what's in store? If you believe the Bible is true and you want to dig in a little deeper to understanding and how everything that might be happening around you fits into that story, then this is going to be a good opportunity for Frank to lead us. I'm going to turn it over to him. And if you'd like to contribute, you can call 772-221-1100.
Call in today with your questions.
This is a live show,
yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. Feel free to contribute, because that's what today is about. Like I said, we've been given this opportunity to really to get away from some financial talking for a little bit. So we're going to talk about the word. What better way to fill in? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand it over to Frank.
Praise God.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word with our listeners and our followers. And I thank you so much for Frank and the passion that you've put on him, the anointing that you've given him, the wisdom. I know how much you hold him up. And today we're asking you to just fill him with your Holy Spirit and allow him to deliver to us what you want us to hear, Lord, and what we need to hear. And do not let it fall on deaf ears. Let the people that are listening now listen closely and to hear, God, what you want to communicate with them. We just thank you so much for what you did on the cross, and for your grace and your mercy and for your forgiveness and for saving us, Lord, from everything to come, from what was and what will be, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mindy.
All right, Frank. So where do we begin?
Well, I want to start with 2 Peter 3:9. How about that? So we'll start with the word. Of course, I think we'll spend quite a bit of time talking about the Word of God today. But in 2 Peter 3:9, this is one of the general epistles, which means it's to the entire church. And this is later in Peter's ministry. He says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, I mean, this is God's heart. And Peter's trying to explain to us, as Jesus does, God is not that figure sitting up on the throne with a big fist in his judgment seat, waiting to cast judgment on you and send you to hell.
And I think, not my generation, but my parents' generation, like, that's how they kept everybody in line. Right? Like, or that maybe that was just my grandma, but it was like, you're going to go to hell, right? Like that iron fist.
Yeah, the theology maybe wasn't that great, but the threats maybe worked.
Yes, the threats worked. It can be misleading because of what you just said.
So the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord has promised And he's not slack. He's not slow to do these things, as some men count slack. But he is long-suffering toward us. God is the one pursuing us. And this is what I think we're talking about today. You know, just, and we're going to go there, just like in the garden, at the very beginning, man, Adam and Eve, fall from God's grace. That's the great cataclysmic event that happens early in the creation, is the fall of mankind. And what happens? God doesn't come with lightning bolts and hailstones to come and throw Adam and Eve into jail or into bring. No, Adam, he asks the question, where are you? And I think God's still asking that question.
Right. Yeah.
Where am I? Where are you? Are we in the right relationship with God?
That's, gotcha. Like, are you hiding from God? So that was the beginning.
That's right. All that guilt and shame, their irresponsibility, their rebellion. Eve was deceived, the Bible says.
Mistakes.
Eve was deceived, mm-hmm. but Adam took of the fruit and ate. So there is a distinction there, and that distinction is an interesting distinction. In Timothy, we read about that. So, you know, who is God? This is the God who shows up on the pages of Scripture. This is the God. He's revealed to us. He's revealed himself to us. The Bible speaks of this, right? One of the preeminent ways he has revealed himself to us, and many of us, I'm sure, can identify, is through his creation. Right? Who can look at the morning rising of the sun with all the purple and orange and blue and the colors? God, I believe, is the most awesome artist of them all. So in the creation, this is the firmament, the stars, the heavens and the stars. He is showed.
Well, this morning himself, said you were talking and you said, who is God? And even for me, who has this nonstop relationship with God, I was like, ooh, how do you answer that question? That's a big question. And then, but he's my creator.
He's creator. That's right? The first way. Genesis 1:1, he introduced himself as the creator, in the beginning, God. And, you know, we don't know. I certainly do not know. We had a great guest last week. Frank Bragg was with us, and he had spent some time in seminary and learning Hebrew. And so those original texts are Hebrew texts, I believe. And we understand that first language was Hebrew. This is the language. This is what the Jews, these are God's people, the ones he created. And right, the language wasn't confused until after the flood, even. And the man was disobedient again. And that's when God, the Tower of Babel, right?
Babylon.
They wanted idolatry was the big sin. They were, this is a big problem. So God is intervening in the earth all the time, and he is available to us. There's deep questions that we should have, and I believe you can get them answered. You know, this is his story that he is revealing, right? And it's not done. Like, I just think it's really awesome. I don't know about you guys, right?
So you've just went through the Garden of Eden, right? And then you went to Noah's Ark.
Well, we're gonna talk about this a little bit more. So, right, so from Genesis to Revelation, you have the 66 books of the Bible. So from the beginning to the end, and they contrast each other. There's really interesting contrast there between what's going on in the beginning, what's going on, the story begins and the story ends, and we have these two books that are at either end of the Bible. And so, in the beginning, right, we have the Word. The Word is power. God. And, how powerful are our words? All those things that are the people that are closest to us, and the words have so much power. I think like we mentioned earlier, I don't know if that was off the air, how we don't give enough weight many times to prayer. And so words, I think, are very similar in that way.
So if God, so I don't know the verse, but I know he says there was the Word. And God was the Word?
John 1:1. Well, so this is the thing about John. Yeah, John is so awesome. His is the non-synoptic gospel. He is the older, last
apostle. So when you say the Word, are you is it referencing the Bible?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Oh.
Yeah, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he sets a pattern in the beginning. In this pattern, right, he doesn't give an explanation, and so we're talking about who is God. He is the creator. He sets a pattern. We're still living off the pattern that was created in the beginning in the Genesis record, right? These patterns, what are they? Day and night are set right there in the opening pages of Scripture. God is naming the creation. We're still using those names. Day, night, work, rest, male, female, good and evil. And in his identity, we talked about Frank was on Frank's heart. Frank Bragg was here with us again last week. We were talking about identity, and God had laid in his heart and has been, you know, he's been teaching on identity. And it is who are we? We know we ask, who is God? Well, who are we? You know, it's a big question, right? We're created, though, the word tells us, in his image. And that, you know, I mean, God's message, the gospel message, that we are so important to him that he was willing to come here and die for me, for you, for this world. And he not only died for us personally, which he did, but he died for our sin nature. And that's a very interesting thing
and
to think about.
Just goes another pattern of him coming after us. When you said, Adam, where are you? He
That's
was looking
said.
For
That's,
him.
He was looking.
And then here he came in the flesh to die for us as the ultimate sacrifice.
We weren't asking for him.
We didn't ask for that. Right?
Yeah. And you know, in a similar way, you know, that Genesis record gives us an indication of our human nature. Because what did Adam and Eve do? They tried to cover their own sin. And don't we do it? That's human nature. No, we deflect. Oh, it wasn't really my fault, or, you know, oh, my parents made me do it, or society made me do it, or, you know. No, they sowed fig leaves, and was their covering wasn't adequate for their own sin. This is God's message, right? And he had to do what? You remember? What did God have to do? Adam and Eve, their fig leaf. My brother wrote a book on this subject, actually. It's really quite interesting. He's a minister with the Assemblies of God. Fig Leaf Shorts, Adam and Eve's Wardrobe Failure. You can look it up and get it on Amazon. My brother's Joseph Barrelli, B-A-R-R-A-L-E. Fig Leaf Shorts, Adam and Eve's Wardrobe Failure. It's a really good book. I enjoyed it. But talking about, you know, Adam and Eve's reactions to their shame and guilt, trying to cover their own sin. Mm-hmm. They were hiding from God. They knew they were naked. What's this all about? You know, this, all of a sudden, you know, that whole situation there. Well, God provided clothes of skin for them. And that's all that's said there. But later on in Hebrews, we read, right? So if they were given clothes of skin, that means this
animals
was the
died.
Shedding of blood. Like, the, without the shedding of blood is the remission of sins. We can read in Hebrews. And, you know, we don't know what animal was killed and how that occurred, but God provided. Mm-hmm. And this is the first indication of a blood sacrifice for the penalty of sin that God himself would later come. This is the gospel
right
message.
Right then, in the beginning.
Right then, in the beginning, at the very instant of the fall of mankind, when God provides the covering for man's sin. Not only that, at the same time when God is talking to Adam and Eve, so this is who God is. There's a curse upon the earth, right? So mm-hmm. Everything is still, we're still living under a cursed earth. Mankind is cursed. Man is cursed. The earth is cursed. Women are cursed. It's all right there in Genesis. We won't have time to go through all those specific curses. But the serpent, Genesis 3:15, is the first mention of the Messiah, the need, the seed of the woman. He says to the serpent, to Satan, the seed of the woman will crush your head, but he will bruise your heel. And it's if you look in the Genesis record, it's a capital seed singular. The seed of the woman. And it's the seed of the woman. But the woman can't create their own seed, right? So this is another.
Frank, so this whole time.
Yes.
I thought that verse was that referring to women being afraid of snakes.
The seed of the woman will crush.
Because
I missed the seed part. No,
the
yeah,
seed
the seed
of the
is
woman.
Capitalized, and it's in the woman. There is the image of Israel, is a woman. The woman figure in the Old Testament is a figure which in the Revelation, which we'll kind of get to today. There's this crazy figure of a woman with the moon and the star, and I don't know. It's a really very interesting symbol in John's Revelation that is, I believe, that similar woman, the nation of Israel. Anyway, we're kind of getting a little bit off subject there. But that seed, the God, the Redeemer, God is our Redeemer, the Kinsman Redeemer. And he has a plan from all of us. You know, I found this interesting quote. You know, maybe you want to read it. It says, made from dirt. You see that part? Are you on there? The second slide, I think. Made from dirt.
No, I don't think
made
I'm
from
on
dirt. Side. So this is interesting, right, that in thinking about the creation, right, we're created in God's image, but made from dirt.
Made from dirt, a person's value is not in the physical components that form his body, but in the quality of life which forms his soul. He came to restore his creation with a question, where are you? Please explain why you are hiding.
Right, that's the part we're talking about. But this quote, though, made from dirt, right, that just that one sentence, made from dirt, a person's value is not in the physical components that form his body, but in the quality of life which forms his soul. In that, you know, it's interesting. You know, so as we're talking about how can we know God, and you know, many people have some questions as we move on to slide three here. That how can we know the Bible is from God? There are historical ways that we can know that the God has spoken. And some of these are the preservation of the text. That we have the record of the text is not any small coincidence, and is not, you know, I'm telling you, you can do the research, please, of listeners out there, if you've never researched and done some really good research on how reliable the texts are in the scripture. You know, people have very common saying, oh, they're just a bunch of stories that have been repeated over and over, and there's a lot of errors in the Bible. Well, that's really not true. It's not true at all. That is a popular conception that many unbelievers have and people who don't know the Word of God. But the Hebrew text in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are more copies of those ancient writings than any text anywhere near comparison. There's no comparison to any text of the times of antiquity where those writings have been found, and they're all say the same thing. In the errors, there are copy errors. None of the errors in any of the copies have anything to do with the significance of the message or the Word of God or the power of God. It's all minor, very, very minor stuff. And so that's a very powerful message. God, you know, I used to say sometimes, tell me what you think about this, that if God wanted to write a book and give it to mankind, do you think he could be, you know, he could do it reliably?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, and he's given us a reliable book that we can count on. Yeah. And it's, so that's one of it. It's preservation of the text. That's an external proof of God working in his creation. Another one is
prophecy.
Yeah,
fulfilled
yeah.
prophecy.
Yes, fulfilled prophecy. So that is such a, you know, such an amazing, amazing thing to study. And, you know, I believe, again, that a well-founded Christian, we take all of the counsel of God. We're not centering, you know, maybe some people, you know, when we talk about prophecy and this end time stuff, and especially it's so much in the news these days, you know, with the war in Israel, that maybe there's an over-focus on end-time prophecy, right? But does it mean we shouldn't be obedient?
And this is the thing, too, because yeah. I told you, when I was in seventh grade, so it would have been 13, junior high, I went to church, I learned about the end times, and it was coming soon, and I needed to pass this chemistry test, and I was like, why? I didn't need to do that.
Jesus was coming?
Jesus is coming. I don't need to study chemistry, and who cares? And I was very lackadaisical about it. Like, I really was in that time. But then, you know, I still had to graduate high school. Still had to get a job. I still had to go through life. So for me, I don't want to say that I'm not a next week thinker. Like, I don't know. I'm not convinced that it's happening soon, but there's so many things that are happening now that it has piqued my interest.
We're going to get to that. Hopefully, I will try and move a little bit more quickly. So that whole idea of that, you know, this worldwide focus on this tiny nation the size of New Jersey in the middle of the Middle East, what is the focus? Why is this country even being talked about or focused on? And so that's, I think that in and of itself is a message from God. And God is speaking.
Right, because it's so small.
Yeah, right. And these are his people. Right. So anyway, so some of the archaeology though is another really big one.
Wait, can I interrupt you for a second?
Please.
Because
when
you say his people.
Yes.
What are you referring to?
The Abrahamic covenant. God chose Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He was an idolater. He was not a godfather or the God. And this is, you know,
so
about 2000 BC. This is
God.
Like 2000 BC.
Okay.
He lived along the Euphrates River, and God calls him. There's a very interesting movie. If you've seen The Chosen, they have my buddy, my good friend Tom, that he let me go do some hunting with. He was interested in watching, and we got to sit down and watch it. His only son, I believe, is the creators of The Chosen have put together a movie based on the story of Abraham, and it starts with the story of Isaac. And if you recall, Abraham is called of God to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son that he loves, right? This was the son that took forever for him to be born, right? Abraham was like 100 years old. So was his wife. And first, Ishmael had to come along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So there's a movie about that. So God's people, you know, that's an interesting thing to think about. Like, why doesn't he, you know, why isn't everybody God's people? I think is why you're kind of saying that.
Well,
maybe.
I didn't know if you were, if that is a reference to
Israel,
Jews?
The nation, the Jews.
Okay.
Yes. Israel, the nation. These are God's chosen people. These are, I mean,
So
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right. Break it down.
Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the patriarchs. God first receives his message. Abraham receives a message from God that you will, your descendants will be as the sands of the sea, as the stars in heaven, which even includes the Gentiles in the church, right?
Okay.
Which was an unknown. This is the mystery that's
so
talked
all of
about.
Us.
Yes. All, that was all of the believers. Not
that
everyone,
believe in God.
Not everyone, right? All the believers, yes. All of those who trust in the Lord Almighty, yes, in Jesus. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Real quick, Jacob has 12 sons from a bunch of different ladies, but those 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's 70 of them. They go down to Egypt. Joseph was one of those sons. He's the prince of Egypt, right? There was a famine in the land. They get stuck there for 400 years.
Okay.
Then when they come out under Moses' leadership, God called Moses, you know, they're about a million strong or so. This is God's people. God called Moses to take his people from Abraham's seed that were living in Egypt, the whole ten plagues, right? This is God, right? The Passover was instituted in Egypt with his people.
And is this was like a new beginning of what, like, the laws were? Like, what changed in that time? Did something change? No?
Well, the calling of Moses, the calling of Moses is what changed. Yeah, see, this is the thing that's very interesting to think about. And we were trying
to
get
there. Well, I'm looking
at the ages of
this.
Yeah, so the covenants chart, God in different times had different covenants. Like, you know, Christ came and fulfilled the Old Testament. And so we are the temple. And God's Spirit indwells us, right? That's that was a great mystery that is not revealed in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And that had to be revealed through Jesus and the apostles, in the teaching of the apostles. Mm-hmm. So, right, the nation Israel, though, would like to have their temple. And there are practicing Jews who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, to be clear. There's the people group that are called Jews, and they're very much the Jewish people are, you know, to some degree, very much like the Christian church, where there are some liberals, there's conservatives, there's people in the middle, people who don't care, they're political, but they're still Jewish.
Right.
Because they have their own nation.
Mm-hmm.
But that nation, right, again, so this is the God of Israel, right? He formed his people, and he called them. Jesus was a Jew.
Yes.
A rabbi. They called him rabbi, teacher. And he went into the temple, and he taught at the synagogues, and he challenges us, right, to be in. If Jesus had to participate in synagogue and spend time in prayer, we should be doing these same disciplines as Christians. So they want to rebuild the temple. There hasn't been a temple since AD 70.
So when you say they, who are you referring
to? Jewish people, the nation of Israel, hasn't had a temple. They're
So now you're talking
through the
about
law
right
of
now.
Moses, through the law of Moses, right? They are still, they believe they should be practicing the law of Moses, where they were sacrificing blood sacrifices to animals. Like this is the difference between Judaism and Christianity.
Right.
The Jesus, we believe, is the Messiah, and his sacrifice is the ultimate sacrifice. No longer is sacrifice required, his perfect sacrifice. And this was the whole Old Testament picture. Mm-hmm. All those sacrifices were a picture of the perfect Son of God. So, okay, yeah, let's see. So we can know God by his revelation, inspiration, illumination, and interpretation. Let's read a scripture. How about from Hebrews? Hebrews 1, 1 through 2.
Okay.
You want me to turn to it?
Yeah.
Which book are you in over there? Hebrews 1, 1 through 2. So what is revelation? Revelation is the uncovering or the unveiling, right?
Okay.
And
so inspiration guarantees the revelation of God. Illumination has to do with the Spirit of God being the teacher, and he communicates. And interpretation has to do with the interpretation that you give, that you and I give, the Word of God. So the interpretation of what we read in the Bible.
Right, by the Spirit of God, yes. So let's listen to this verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 1, 1 through 2 says, this is, I don't know if you've ever seen a Bible like this. This is a parallel Bible. There's four Bibles right alongside of each other.
Oh, wow.
So if you like want to study and you're trying to study the Bible, you know, you know, people were, you know, worried about translations. And,
yes.
So this is an interesting way to study. You can look at four translations all at the same time. So I'll read the New American. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. In these last days, now this is the writer of the Hebrews. In these last days, he says, in these last days, spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Through whom also he made the world. This is what John was saying. In the beginning, God became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So revelation, God has revealed himself.
So just in Hebrews, who is writing? Who's writing that?
Well, that's a we're not exactly sure. Many people, the author of the book, the Epistle to the Hebrews, is a bit under. Some people believe it was Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the author, but we're not exactly sure who the author is of the Epistle to the Hebrews. It's a very powerful epistle. Really talks a lot about how Christ fulfills the role of prophet, priest, and king. Like. So those again, you know, how God has revealed himself through the nations, through the world, prophet, priest, and king. Christ fills all three of those roles as prophet, priest, and king. And we no longer need an earthly priest because God himself, he intercedes for us, right?
Yes, God, through the Holy Spirit.
That's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep moving on here. I think, all right, so let's talk about this. I'm on the slide 5. I don't know if you'd like to, let's talk to me, help me illustrate this slide on number 5 here, beginning to end, to eternity future. So let's think about this for a minute. So who is God, right? God, so where did Moses, so we believe Moses wrote the Pentateuch, the law, the Torah, this is all the same thing. The first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers,
the Old Testament, we call the Old Testament, or
the
not?
First 5 books of the
just
Bible,
the first 5.
Are Moses, written by Moses.
Okay.
There were some editors, obviously, in some places, but and Joshua helped out a little bit. But, you know, by and large, but the creation account is given to us in Genesis 1 and 2.
Okay.
There was no one there until day 6. Adam was created. He was created on day 6, and Moses didn't write the account. If Moses wrote the account, which we believe, right, it was like 1200 BC. So it was like 30, like at least 2,000, 2,500 years from the time of the creation to where – but Moses was with God on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
God gave Moses the law. He was there for like 30 days at a time on Mount Sinai.
Okay.
And he didn't get it from man, I don't believe, right? And so, you know, so this idea from Genesis, so when we go, there's 50 chapters in Genesis. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's very interesting to think about in Genesis record, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, how many years does it say? That's
350 years.
No, one on the top of the slide.
Oh, 1 year. I don't know.
2,000 plus, right?
Yeah.
So from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, which begins the story of Abraham.
You think that's 2,000 years?
No, it is, yeah.
Oh.
According to...
You don't think, you know. According,
yes,
it says
yes,
that.
The biblical record tells us that from Genesis 1, from the creation, because they list out Adam lived.
Oh, right. Like, yes.
So many years, and then he died.
Yes.
And he had a son, and he lived
so
many years.
And it's the whole lineage of all that, so if you add up those lifetimes.
And there's more than one of those chronologies mm-hmm. in the Bible. There's in okay. Genesis, there's in Chronicles, and in Kings, I believe it is. And, so anyways, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, more than 2,000 years. More than 2,000. You have the creation to Adam, the whole universe, mankind, and world events all occur in those first 2,000 years. And, you know, there's a lot... going
and
on
Jesus
there. So,
is not here yet.
That's right. And then from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50, that's another 350 years. That's from Abraham to Joseph, right? And then from Joseph to Jesus Christ to Matthew 1, that's 2,000 years. That's 4,000 years get to Jesus. Yes. Right. This is recorded history. Right.
Well, I
so we have man,
I thought
nation,
that the earth, but I thought I read once that the earth like from creation up until now, it was only over 4,000 years, maybe 6,000 years old.
Well,
okay, so it's adding up 6,000. Maybe it was 6,000.
Yeah,
6,
right. Because in 2023, 4,000 were.
I read that at Noah's Ark. So anyone that's ever had the opportunity, if you've never had the opportunity to go, you should definitely go and put it on
Answers
your bucket list.
Answers in Genesis in Kentucky.
Go, yeah. It's you Kenham. Fly into Cincinnati. You can fly into Lexington, Louisville, Cincinnati. Drive over to the Ark and also go to the Creation Museum, which is near Cincinnati. So if you fly into Cincinnati, you can do both. You can do them both in one day, I suggest you.
Answers in Genesis is a wonderful website for anything you want to know about Christianity and the age of the earth and these questions. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot. I've got to listen to Ken Ham multiple times. He came to Germany when I was in the military and a military chapel and got to listen to him speak in a chapel there and read a lot of his books. And
what was the website again? What's it called?
AIG.com. It used to be .org. Answers in Genesis.
Answers in Genesis. Yeah, AIG.org.
Lots of resources there. Any types of questions that you have, you can find on that internet site.
Okay.
So, you know, God has had a plan. So, but what the point of what we're saying, though, a little bit on this slide, though, is that from Genesis 1 to Genesis 50, you have 2,350 years, but God only spent in that time, how much did he talk about the creation and the creation of the universe and how that was done? He really didn't give us a lot of the details. It's very little focus, right?
Like nothing.
So the biblical emphasis is God's relationship with man and what has happened historically on the earth. That is the emphasis. God is involved in his creation, and he wants to be in a personal relationship with you and with me.
It's true. It's very true.
So this is what we're saying. So he gives us an answer, and it's an adequate answer, but it's not a in-depth, all-conclusive answer. For, you know, they've been studying these things. There's some really great authors out there about the creation and really, really, I think, I can't remember the author. I think he said Back to Creation. I think he's really...
So we're at halfway
we're
point,
halfway.
Just
Thank
so you,
you
know. So I'm...
All right, yeah, we're about halfway through these slides, so we're still talking about, this is a live program. You're listening to Mindy Molina Show, and you can find us at MindyMolina.com to book appointments with us and find who we are. And this is a call-in program if you'd like to talk about the Lord today. We're talking about who is God, what's his plan, and how things are wrapping up here in this world. Do we believe he's coming soon? I think he is. I don't know. But the number to call in today, if you'd like to talk or have some input, is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. So who is God? Have you seen you with me here on slide 6? You've heard these before about who God is?
Is this God is...
The characteristics of God, the characteristic trait. God is...
Yeah, I saw these. Okay, so God is omniscient.
Omniscient.
Okay. Don't know what that is.
It's all knowing. He knows everything. Omniscient. God knows everything. There's nothing that escapes his. Yes. Omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
I think I spelled that right.
Yeah. Omnipresent. Okay. But these I know. good, just, merciful, forgiving, gracious, glorious, holy. I understood those. Those first three, I was like, this is like a test. I don't know what they mean.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no. So God knows everything. He's all powerful and he's everywhere all the time.
That's but what he means.
Those first three, yes.
Couldn't you just write that?
So God knows everything. He's all powerful and there's nowhere you can go where you could hide from God. Right. So that's omnipresent. These are some of, you know, who is God? This is who he's revealed himself to us as. He's good. He's just. He's merciful, forgiving, gracious, glorious. He is holy. I read this one book one time where the most deep, penetrating characteristic of God might be his holiness. And the rest of who he is, you know, I think we should have reverence. It's one of the things in this world, right, that we're moving away from. And the respect for the word of God, the respect for God, reverence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see a lot of reverence anymore, right?
Yeah.
Where just reverence to people who are in authority. It's okay to be rebellious and
right. It's like
a
they're making it acceptable.
Spirit in this world.
It's becoming it's socially acceptable to defile the word of God or defile anything.
Right. And I think it's important, right? And so I'm saying, right, like you know, for me, for Frank, it matters my posture. If I'm in prayer, right, and you know, bowing, you know, this is we bow our heads when we pray. That it's not because God, Jesus said, bow your heads when you pray. No,
it's
respect, we're reverence, we're honoring.
Now you're speaking to me because my prayer goes like this: I'm driving down the road and I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like,
well, that's okay. We can pray all the time, any way we can.
I'm gonna straighten up. I'm gonna get more proper with my prayer.
Oh, we all have those moments, Mindy. We all have those moments, but you know, I'm saying in your personal prayer closet, we just you know, throwing it around. No, we anyway.
When my kids are raised, I'll get back to it.
Yeah. So, this God is certainly all those things and so much more. Certainly, he's loving.
So this next slide is my. I'm really excited about it. I want
really
you to like.
Oh my goodness, we could spend forever. This is. So we talked about the idea of the God is in like dispensations that, and so you can think about this. Another author I was reading, you know, that when God was in the beginning, as far as we know from the text, there's only one restriction: not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat anything else they wanted, and as far as we know, there was no other restriction. They didn't even have the knowledge to do evil. They only had
a time of innocence.
Oh, is it okay? That's, innocence, yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. There's just one thing. Just don't do this. And then that would all
then
be
the tempter came.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's So there's been these epochs in time, eras, dispensations. Some people call them dispensationalists. And so we're just talking about.
Well, when I learned about the dispensation of grace, that's actually how I became saved.
Right. Because so it's a powerful thing, right?
This walk is what I didn't understand. I didn't understand that there was different laws for different time periods, for different covenants.
But right now,
now we're in a new covenant. With the Lord, like you talked about before, like now we're.
But that doesn't mean. But it doesn't mean like that you don't have to obey the Ten Commandments.
Of course not, and the Bible says that, and it says that, and it's just that
it's a little bit tricky to think about though.
Understanding if you don't, it's hard to believe both. So you do have to understand that even if you do,
right. And this is why we're kind of building up to get to Revelation, like. In Revelation, there's like 400 references to the Old Testament is one of the guys I read, at least.
Well, you got 20 minutes.
Right, so to read the Revelation, like it is a challenging book to read, and there's a lot of symbols. So this idea of the covenant, right, and is very interesting. What else did you want to talk about?
Whatever you wanted to touch on. I just love how it breaks
innocence,
it down.
Conscience.
And if you're listening and you want a copy of this, we'd be happy to provide it, what I'm talking about.
You can
because
just Google,
I do think it's powerful.
Just Google dispensational eras. Innocence, conscience.
So let's talk about where we are right now.
Promise, law. Okay, so Very good, yeah. So the Old Testament ended, right, with Malachi. It was the last book, 39 books in the Old Testament. And so in Israel was a nation still, and there was a temple that was still being, right, this is the world in which Jesus was born. Israel was a nation, but they were occupied by Rome.
Okay,
right. The Roman legions and the centurions, right? These are some of the characters we read in the gospel accounts and in the biblical record. So where are we at now? So Jesus came, right, over 2,000 years ago. Isn't it very interesting, like I said, that God set patterns in the creation? And then, you know, of course, as you know, I don't understand how anyone could be a Christian, and I don't mean to be disparaging, but there's the one significant event in all of the history of the world is the coming of the Lord Jesus, that he was born a virgin, that he came and lived a sinless life, and that he died a substitutionary death on the cross for the sins of the world, for the sin nature of mankind, for my personal sins, and that he is alive now and he's coming back. The gospel message is alive and it is true. And the year 2023, that millions of Americans, millions, billions of people around the world, is based off of his birth. The very year itself is based off of Christ's birth, right?
What do you mean?
Mindy, come on. So, Anno Domini.
I'm not the only one that doesn't know what you mean.
So, David. It used to be. Good, David. Please feel free to chime in with us. Our engineer is David, and he's a minister of the Lord as well.
But we don't, as producers, we don't generally jump into another program.
Yeah, well, he's welcome.
But yes, well, what you said is that it's the old. Now, you know, scholars today, some of them use a different
instead of
the AD and BC.
Yeah. Before the common era and after the common
era. It's 2023 AD.
So Anno Domini is the year of the Lord. It's the year after. So it's 2023 years since Jesus was born.
Okay. Since his birth, yeah, the very recording of time in the Gregorian calendar.
I was thinking of it in reference to the end times, not AD and BC. Okay, sorry. Elementary.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you did know.
Miscommunication.
All right, yeah.
Understood.
We understand.
I went to Sunday school.
Well, that was, yeah. I mean, just the year of our Lord, it used to be. But so, I mean, we've become so, like David was saying, the world has become so secular that they wanted to get away from the understanding of the calendar in a Christian frame of work. And so
they want it
before,
about Jesus.
BCE, they call it, before the common era, and then ACE, after the common era, are the two more that you'll see in colleges these days. They never
How could
used
that
to have
be the common era? He was only here 33 years. It's like a blip.
It's liberal.
I know.
It's woke language for what, you know, they don't want us to talk about Jesus.
So we're in the age of grace. You asked, we're in the church age, right? And it's so not for all of history has the church in Israel been on the stage at the same time. So that was initially that way when Israel was a nation, but they were still under the rule of the Roman government when Christ came. They were not their own nation. They had an agreement with Rome in order to observe their sacrificial system using the temple that was rebuilt. So that Israel is on, this is a whole nother reason to understand and know that there is a God at work in this world. He cares about us. He cares about his planet. And in Revelation, right, there's the scripture where the Messiah chorus, I believe it is, it's all about, right, that we do during Christmas, as people understand as we approach the holiday season, only the Lamb was found from Handel's Messiah. Who, like, the Lord is on the throne with a scroll sealed with seven seals. It's a scroll with seven seals on it, written on the back and written on the inside. And John, in the Revelation, begins to weep because no one could take the scroll. But then the elders tell him, look, and there is one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah,
which is Jesus,
the root of Jesse, can take the scroll.
And then what?
Then what? Well, so the title deed of the earth, this is, we don't, I mean,
Okay.
What
so
is
the
this?
Deed
what
to
is happening
earth.
In heaven? This is, and so this is Revelation chapter 4, if I'm pretty sure. And so God, so Revelation 1, 2, and 3 is about the churches, and right, the church, many people in the premillennial dispensationalist, which I believe I am, you know, the church has gone to heaven now.
So
and so the rest
the
of Revelation, yeah.
So now. So the next thing would be...
So now all this being recorded in John's Revelation in chapter 4, the rest of this is the last... So God is going back now to his covenant relationship with Israel. Right? Not everyone is in
okay,
complete agreement.
Okay, you got to slow down because you're losing me. Okay, break this down into baby
steps.
So
you said
steps.
Where we're at. We're in the age of grace.
We're in the age of grace until the next change. When we get out of this circle, this last circle, and then it's the 7 years...
Let me give you. You have this one too. You have this one too. Look at this one too. So this one here has the man standing, mm-hmm. right? This is one of the integral prophecies in, to understand Revelation. Frank doesn't know all this. Oh, by the way, everyone, you know, I've listened to thousands of hours of radio programs from David Jeremiah, who's preached on this subject, you know, for so many times. And,
you know
and
more
read,
than I do.
Read a lot
so
of books.
Let
but,
it
so
go.
I'm just saying, yeah, all right. Oh. But the man in this figure here, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. So Israel is taken captive. The nation of Israel, right? These are historical facts. So we talk about what is the truth in this world. Daniel was a noble person, a young man, when Babylon comes and takes sacks. Invades Israel and destroys the empire, and they take all the King Nebuchadnezzar takes royal family and people to Babylon.
Okay.
Daniel's in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Right? This is Daniel chapter 1 and 2, and King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he don't tell anybody about the dream, but he wants everybody, his wise men, his magicians, to tell him not only the interpretation of the dream, but what the dream is, and he won't tell them what the dream is. And only Daniel. And it's this man.
Oh,
and it's
Daniel.
This man. This man is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has with a head of gold.
Oh.
So moving away, so what is we're understanding has happened these era and time. So God has taken the nation Israel out of a leadership role in the world. They were under a united kingdom under David and Solomon, and you know, had some significant influence in the world, but they lost their kingdom to the Babylonians, came and attacked them, and for their idolatry and for other reasons of disobedience. So this statue that Daniel, the Nebuchadnezzar has, he interprets it for him. There's the head of gold and, you know, various figures. You can look it up, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold, and he's this world emperor. So it's the age of, we believe this, to, you know, the meaning is the age of the Gentiles. No longer, right, Israel was influencing the world, and now we have the age of the Gentiles, right? This goes all the way through to Alexander the Great. The Greeks, and then the Romans are the two legs at the bottom, the 10 toes, and the spreading of the Roman Empire throughout the known world at the time. And then this big rock comes and crashes the statue, right? And so later on in Daniel, you know, it's all you know, rather interesting, and it's not so straightforward, to be quite honest with you. You have to do quite a bit of digging and reading and putting a couple books together. So Daniel, as
so
a part of this interpretation, so there's 70 weeks. So there's 70 weeks that were given through Daniel as well, who receives this vision and this prophecy about 70 weeks.
70 weeks.
70 weeks. And so the 70 weeks, and, you know,
there's
to make it more complicated, we're not talking about. We're talking about each week represents 7 years. So that's 490 years.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, to make it – so it's not so straightforward, but
what's
you have
happening
to really
during
dig
the 490 years?
So the age of the Gentiles
– oh, that is it.
Right, but there was in the rest of the scripture, and, you
and
know,
that's
I don't know that I
gap.
Could get it all lined up for you real accurately here, but, you know, what we – the 70 weeks, 69 of the weeks have been fulfilled in prophecy. They have already occurred. There's 1 week, 1 7-year period that is yet to be fulfilled in the prophetic calendar of God. And this is the significance of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel. And which ushers in a premillennial dispensational understanding, as that last week approaches, the last 7 years is the day. It's called a couple different things. The day of tribulation, Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is another term. I believe it's in Joel or some of the minor prophets who talk about this, you know, because Israel is going to be under great and severe persecution.
During those seven years of tribulation.
If you look at what's going on the earth, and they were not believers.
And so when I turn on the TV and I see all of these Americans coming against Israel right now.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of confusion, in the world. And,
but do you think that's
where's
pointing
the truth,
to?
Right? We understand truth is a person. And right, and the truth can be found in the Word of God, is what Frank believes. To be clear, though, it doesn't matter what Frank believes either, but because I believe what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible is literal, that we should take the Bible literally, absolutely, everywhere, every time you take the Bible literally, unless there's absolute clear indication from the Scripture itself that you need to take it somewhere other than literal.
So, what are the main like founding components of that you feel like? It's near.
Okay, so we talked about this before too. One of the things is that, so we talked about this, right? So Israel, no other nation in the history of the earth was ever a major world empire. They disappear for over 2,000 years in Israel's instance, and they become a nation again. Right? Never. Right. There's no other country that can say this, right? And right now, the focus is on this nation that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't happenstance. This isn't God is in control, and the world is marching in an order that God knows about and is in complete control. Right? That Israel, Jerusalem, is in the news today.
It's in the
is
limelight.
A sign. Jesus said, "Know the signs." We can read Matthew 24 and 25 is another helpful understanding for us to understand end times. So this end times theology or understanding is also called eschatology. It's just end times. So how the history of the world winds up, the Bible tells us. So we talked about that. So where do we want to go? We want to pull up one of these sites. The revelation of Jesus.
Well, I want to talk about Revelation and kind of
Revelation is an uncovering, right? So Revelation 1 through 3 is about the church. And then Revelation 1, 17 through 19, it says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this.'" So this is the revelation Jesus is giving to John through an angel in the revelation. There's only one revelation, the one that John received. He is the same apostle, we understand, who was with Jesus when he walked on his earthly ministry, the gospel writer, mm-hmm. and also the writer of the epistles of John, has received this revelation. We understand he received it on the island of Patmos. So Jesus is saying, so this is a significant way of understanding the revelation, because then he breaks it down. If you go on to slide 11 there, there's this idea of the past, the present, and the future. I am he that lives, I was dead, and he is alive. And the things which you have seen, and then behold, I am alive, the things which are, and I have the keys of hell and death, the things. So if you divide a revelation, in Revelation 1 is Christ in his glory, Revelation 2 to 3 is church, is the church in the world, and then Revelation 4 to 22, you know, some Bible interpreters understanding this pre-dispensational millennialist or pre-millennial dispensationalist understand the church goes to heaven by Revelation 3, and Revelation 4 through 22 is the period where God is the tribulation period. Said the last 7 years, the last week of Daniel that has to be fulfilled until Jesus, till the second coming of Jesus. The rapture is not the second coming of Jesus.
Okay.
The rapture is not the second coming. My understanding, the second coming of Jesus is in Revelation. He's riding on a white horse, and it will be unmistakable.
Yes.
The whole world will see. And this is where you have the Battle of Armageddon, which is talked about in Revelation.
We won't be here for.
I don't think so.
Well,
I
you might be there. I'm staying in heaven. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he comes, but he comes with a host of heaven, but it's only, I think it's the words of his mouth, I think, that destroys the peoples, what the Bible actually says. The enemies of the earth, of Israel.
But does
the
soldier
world...
in you really actually want to partake in the fight?
The soldier in me. No, I think I'll leave that up to the Lord. I'd rather... So this was an interesting thing, too, to think about this, that, you know, for those of you who may be listening, we want you to understand, we don't want you, like Mindy's saying, the point that Mindy's saying, though, is that, I believe, right, that you don't want to have to go through the tribulation. It's going to be one of the, and God's judgment is going to be poured out on the earth. God has been holding back his wrath and his judgment through his mercy and his grace, and by the prayers of the saints, and by his mercy and grace. But in the tribulation period, there are some very, very terrible times coming on this earth, on the planet Earth. This is what God has told us, right? And this is what we believe. These are prophecies not yet fulfilled. Very terrible times
the
coming.
The situation in Israel that you say about the 7 years, with the 7 years of tribulation, right?
It's for the world.
That is.
But
Israel.
Really difficult for Israel because they're going to be under persecution.
And that's where they'll build the temple and the Antichrist will make everyone worship him. Is that what?
That's what the Bible says. That's my understanding of what the Bible says. The Bible says, right, and Jesus says this it's called the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25. They asked him, Lord, they're talking to him in the Olivet Discourse. I believe this is either right before or right after the Last Supper and in the Upper Room Discourse. And they said, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming? What will it be like when you come back? That's their question.
The second coming.
The second coming.
He's referring to.
Yeah, but and so the and anticipation what will it be like? Has been, though, the anticipation has been all these years, like, they thought that he was coming to establish that kingdom then.
Right.
Like, immediately, like, the kingdom of God was going to be established, and it's been this great mystery. Well, it's been, successful of the kingdom is in us individually.
So.
And then we're supposed to work to do it corporately. We have. Okay, yeah. So.
In wrapping, what are your final thoughts?
Jesus says here at the end of Revelation, you know, that don't seal the words of the prophecy. Daniel was told to seal the words of the prophecy. The Revelation is said, don't seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Jesus says in the Revelation there, blessed are those who do his commandments. There are my words, to follow his commandments. And he says, I, Jesus, have set my angel to testify to you, to these things in the churches. Come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so this is Jesus' call to all of us, to come to him, and he will give us life. Are we willing to humble ourselves, confess our sin, and repent, and to live in a right relationship with God? Thanks for the time today. It's been a great time.
Yes.
A pleasure talking about the Lord.
Thank you, Frank, very much for sharing your thoughts and expertise. I know it can be a lot. I mean,
it's a lot.
To have 30 minutes to cover the whole book is is a stretch. But
we covered some ground.
I think I had some clarity. Hopefully everybody did too. And like I always say, God loves you and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and/or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice, and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
guide my vision, help me see the way you see. Always Jesus, ever Jesus Christ, and all is Christ in me. Holy Spirit, guide my speaking words of grace.